Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this evening that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, good evening. Welcome, saints. Welcome, saints. We just want to fellowship around God's word this evening. And we trust we're going to have a good time. You know, it's we've been dealing with a series on generosity for a while right now. And we have decided to extend that series into the coming year. However, you know, we're supposed to have handled or treated a topic on Sunday in church, you know, but our questions we have it, we ended up spending, you know, our time, using our time well to answer concerning questions that we have in our hearts. And we trust it was a beautiful service. So what we were supposed to, you know, like I said on Sunday, I just had something to edify us regarding on Sunday. However, we had to shift that to today. Yeah, so if you're with the Bibles, I would admonish that we just turn together to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. You know, some people might ask, why is Pastor always going to Matthew's Gospel 28? You know, but really, the reason I always go to Matthew's Gospel 28 is because we have to start somewhere. Yeah, there's nothing spiritual. There's nothing more. How do I say it without meaning what or without? Well, you get the point. It's not that you know. Some might think that is the verse of scriptures that puts me, you know, on that express. And it looks like once we just start from there, we are on a very long journey. Yeah, but really, we are just starting from Matthew's Gospel 28. You know, Jesus did not say before you teach any teaching, you know, go to Matthew 28, but we're just trying just to start from somewhere because we have to start somewhere. Yeah, so Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. And really, in the real sense, it's fundamental to our Christian faith because this summarizes the teaching that Jesus had, with his disciples that spanned for 40 days. You know, Acts chapter 1 tells us, you know, something very interesting about that. Luke records that in Acts chapter 1 about how, you know, to the day in which Jesus was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment to the apostles, you know, the amongst whom he had chosen, you know, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs from scriptures, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. You know, so what Luke tells us that happened 40 days, Matthew summarizes it in a few verses. So Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah, all power, that is the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This go ye therefore into the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost yeah, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. So fundamentally, this is fundamental to our Christian faith, and we're starting from here because there is an instruction that Jesus gives, which Matthew summarizes to be a 40 days, or which Matthew summarized from a 40 days teaching. And it says, go ye therefore. So it means that there is an instruction to go to every saint. I say it again, yeah, to everyone born of the Spirit, born by the Holy Ghost, born of God. There is an instruction that says, go ye therefore. In fact, hold your thoughts there and go to Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world. So there is an instruction that Jesus gave to the apostles, the disciples, and by extension, we have been given that instruction. So, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So there is a message, there is an instruction that Jesus gave. It says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, so the instruction is go into the world and preach the gospel. So he says, preach the gospel to every creature. I'll say that again. Jesus says to his disciples, go ye into the world and preach the gospel, and preach the gospel, and preach the gospel, and preach the gospel. See that word there, preach, is the word keruzo. Yeah, it's a word that actually means to herald, yeah, to proclaim after a manner of an heralding. Yeah, I just said the same thing, really. Yeah, the word there, preach, there means to herald, to publish, to proclaim, to, I can say it better, to proclaim openly. Yeah, so what is Jesus saying? Go into the world and make a public proclamation of the gospel and matters pertaining to it. Yeah. Now, remember in Matthew's Gospel 28, he says, go into the world and teach all nations to observe all that, teaching them to observe, verse 20, all that I commanded, all that I have commanded. So it will mean that when Jesus says, preach the gospel, it will be limited around the walls of what he has commanded. Yeah. So what did he command? Luke tells us about that in Acts chapter 1. He says, teaching, being seen of them for 40 days, teaching pertaining the kingdom of God. Yeah. So what was teaching about? Things pertaining the kingdom of God. So look at Mark 16 again. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yeah, that's Matthew rather. Look at Mark 16. He says, go ye into all the world and preach, publicly proclaim the gospel to every creature. So that is an instruction loudly spelled out in scriptures. It will be a disobedience to scriptures and to our Lord and Savior not to publicly proclaim the gospel. Yeah, look at it again. He says, go ye into all the world and preach. Yeah, and publicly proclaim the gospel. Yeah, the word there, gospel, is euangelion. Yeah, is a word that really means, you know, good tidings. Yeah, good tidings. Yeah, so preach the gospel will be what to herald the good tidings to every creature. Yeah, remember, this should be upon resurrection. So what is the good tidings to be heralded? The message of the resurrection. That is the good news. Yeah, that is the good news. Yeah, the good news that Jesus has come to give mankind is the good news of eternal life. Yeah, the good news of our sins forgiven forever on account of his work. Yeah, see what it says in verse 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized. Yeah, haven't established or gone through systematic theology in scriptures, we've seen that word there, baptized, is actually means indoctrinating, or not every time the word baptized means to put people in water. So he tells, remember in Matthew 28, he says, go into the world and baptize them in the name of the Father. Yeah, what we layman come up from that scripture, or come out or bring out from that scripture, is go ye into the world and you do what? Go put people into water, dip them the first time, the second time, the third time, and say in the name of the Father, the Son. No. But Mark makes it clear. He that believeth, that is baptized, is saved. So upon believing, you have been baptized into the work. You've been indoctrinated into the work. Yet, who is that one who says, go ye into the world? So it means that if you believe the gospel, you have now become a member of the people or a member of the body that have the responsibility of going ye into all the world. So, he now says, he that believeth, that is baptized, shall be saved. So, he that believeth, that is baptized, that he that believes the good news preached, what is the good news? The gospel of your salvation. What is that? That Christ came in as a man, died for man, and resurrected for man. Yeah, so if you believe that, you have what? You are saved. He says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. So, you have an option. Yeah, you have an option. You either hear the good news and believe it, or you hear it and do not believe it. Why is it that you have that option? Because God has given to every man the ability to make a decision. Yeah, so there's a free will that God has given to man. So man has a free will. Man has a free will. Man has a free will. God offers to man his sacrifice. Let me say it better. God offers himself to man as a sacrifice. Yeah, God offers himself as the sacrifice to man. Man, upon hearing that good news, has an option to either believe it or not. So you can choose to hear and not believe. But what do? You are one who has been given the instruction to go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel. He now says something about those who believe not. He says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He now says verse 17, and this sign shall follow them that believe. So there are signs that shall follow them that believe. Yet in my name shall they cast out demons. Yeah, look at it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In fact, hold your hands there and go to Isaiah chapter 8. Look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Remember, if you've been following for a long time, you realize that we've emphasized over and over that when scriptures make prophecy in the Old Testament books, they point to Christ. So Christ is the theme of scriptures. Yeah, Christ is the theme. Okay, hold your hands in Isaiah. Go to 2 Timothy. Hold your hands in Isaiah and go to 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, so your hands are, you see, God gave us 5 fingers or so many fingers so we can put them in different portions of scriptures. So your first predominant finger is in Matthew's Gospel 28. Your thumb finger is in where? Mark 16. Yeah, your middle finger is where? Is in what? Isaiah 8. Yeah, so your fourth finger now, go to 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Look at it. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So Paul speaks to Timothy, his spiritual son, and says that, and from a child. Now, from a child will not mean when Timothy was born. No. It will mean that, and from where you set out as a saint. So a good way to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 will be, and that from the point you set out as a saint, so from believing the gospel, from that point onwards, thou art known the holy scriptures. What do holy scriptures mean? Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, so Genesis to Malachi is what will be called the holy scriptures. What is the word there? Holy, set apart. Yeah, what is scriptures? Yeah, writing. So set apart scriptures or set apart writing. Yeah, that word there, holy, is the word that is Arius. Yeah, so thou hast known the set apart writings. What is the ability of these set apart writings? It says, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it means that when you go to the Old Testament books, you see salvation written in one way or the other. So yeah, so you close your 2 Timothy 3 and go back to Isaiah 8. Yeah, remember, we are in Mark chapter 16. He says, this sign shall follow them. So look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Yeah, look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Your hand should be there already. Yeah, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Yeah, if I hold your hands there, we're in Isaiah 8. Yeah, you've closed 2 Timothy 3. Now go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Yeah, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Remember, when the Old Testament prophets are speaking, they speak about what? Salvation. So who brought salvation to mankind? Jesus Christ himself. So it will mean that we need to pay attention to salvation text in the Old Testament books. Yeah, so look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. We looked at this on Sunday. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Yeah, so, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Yeah, so some people believe that that portion is talking about a particular kingdom where there are so many angels, that is innumerable company, yeah, which is actually called heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah, but in the real sense, the writer of Hebrews is telling us one and the same thing. Ye are come as Mount Zion. Ye are come unto Mount Zion. That is, that word there, and doesn't always speak about two different things, but a lot of times explains what was said before. So, but ye are called, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit is what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, which is the fellowship, that is the supply of the Spirit. So, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, that is unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So, the heavenly Jerusalem is the city of the living God. Hallelujah. Yeah, to that is to an innumerable company of angels. It tells you what it means, verse 23. To the general assembly, that is the church of the firstborn. So the general assembly is God's general assembly, which is actually the church of the firstborn, which is what you and I, yeah, which we now count as innumerable company of angels, which we constitute to make up the heavenly Jerusalem, that is what? The city of the living God. So, ye are come unto Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of the living God. It is equal to the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah, it is equal to the general assembly. It is equal to the church of the firstborn. Yeah, the church of the firstborn from the dead, first begotten from the dead. That's Christ Jesus. So, we are the ones that make up the body of Christ. Yeah, we have now been put together as a holy habitation. If I go to Ephesians, So, the holy habitation for God is what? The heavenly Jerusalem. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Or before you go to chapter 4, go to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Yeah, what makes us his workmanship? His work. So Jesus is the workman that makes us his workmanship. Yeah, a workmanship is that product that a workman produces. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. So there are specific works that are expected from us as his workmanship. Yeah, in the real sense, you see Mark will say, he that believe, that is baptized, this sign shall follow. Yeah, so look at this, it says, Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Look at verse 20, or look at verse 19. Okay, look at verse 18. In fact, look at verse 17. Look at verse 17 carefully. Yeah, look at verse 17 carefully. In fact, look at verse look at verse 16. Look at verse 16 quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. So it means that we were once afar off, but the message of peace, that is the gospel, has brought us near. Yeah, yeah. And came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were near. Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access to or by one spirit unto the Father. So through him, will be through Jesus Christ, we have access to what the Father. Look at verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Why? Because the message of peace has been brought to us. We believed it, we are saved. He that believeth has been baptized. Mark 16. So upon believing the gospel, you've been baptized. So now that we've been baptized, we have access to the Father. Yeah, so look at verse 19 again. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners. So there is no one who has believed the gospel that can be a stranger to God. Yeah, who are we? We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we are now fellow citizens with the saints. What would that be in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23? In honorable company of angels. Yeah, but fellow citizens with the saints. We are innumerable company of angels. What does that really mean? The Mount Zion. We have come unto Mount Zion. What is really Mount Zion? The city of the living God. Hallelujah. So, he says, we are no more strangers. So, the moment we are strangers, when we were strangers, we were not part of Mount Zion. Now, we are part of Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion. We are fellow citizens with the saints. And we are part of the household of God. Verse 19. Yeah, look at verse 20. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So God lives in us as saints. We are the house of God. We are the heavenly Jerusalem. Glory to God. We are the general assembly that is the church of the firstborn. So when Isaiah, remember, when, okay, go to Mark first. You know, your hands should still be on Mark. In Mark, Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 16 again. Look at Mark 16, 16. Look at Mark 16, 16. It says, he that believeth, that is baptized. So upon believing the gospel, you become a member of God's general assembly. Yeah. Upon believing the gospel, you become a member of God's household. Yeah. Upon believing the gospel, you become one who has come to Mount Zion. Yeah. Upon believing the gospel, you are a member of the heavenly Jerusalem. Upon believing the gospel, you are a member of the heavenly Jerusalem. You are a member of the city of the living God. You are part of the church of the firstborn. So if you believe the gospel, you've been baptized into the work. You have been baptized into God's city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at what it says in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So there are some signs that follow them that believe. Go to Isaiah. So when you see Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18, when it says, look at Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. Remember, we started from 2 Timothy 3. Scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. What are scriptures? Set apart writing, including Isaiah, Ecclesiastes, Hosea, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Malachi, Genesis. Yeah, they are to make us wise unto salvation. So when you see Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. Look at what it says. I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, for the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Who are those that are in Mount Zion? Who are those that dwell in Mount Zion? Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah, those who are what? The members of the general assembly that is the church of the firstborn. So when you see I and the children, the one Lord has given, who is that? Christ and the church. Are we together? I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs. Yeah? What did Mark say? He that believeth, these signs shall follow. Why should these signs follow? It is because you are part of the I and the children whom the Lord has given me. So Isaiah wasn't necessarily speaking about you and the children you give birth to. Yeah? There are many children that their parents give birth to. Their children don't do anything like sign, talk more of signs before wonders. Are we together? But because you are born of God, you are part of the general assembly of the saints. You are part of the church of the first begotten from the grave. Yeah, you are part of the household of God. You are a habitation for God. You are one who God has made his child in the Son. What Ephesians tell us? He says, we have now been brought and we have access to the Father. Yeah, so I and the children whom the Lord hath given. So how did the Lord give? So the great giving is in the fact of the resurrection. So I and the children who will believe the gospel. So how do you become a part of Isaiah 8:18? By believing the gospel. What did Mark tell you? And the signs shall follow. Yeah, so in the real sense, I'm sure we're asking questions in our mind. Where is pastor heading to? You know, we're trying to have a teaching concerning, you know, how to prepare for the year ahead. You know, there are so many things that, you know, people can easily overlook. But, you know, we're just trying to, you know, steer ourselves onto good works. Yeah, there are signs and wonders that should follow you. Yeah, just see, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. We have come unto Mount Zion. That is, so Mount Zion is not the Zion, you know, you see in Jerusalem or whatever. Mount Zion is really God's Zion. Yeah, which is really what? The heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? Are we together? You see, remember that scripture that says, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Yeah. You know, I was trying to teach someone something about something over the week, you know. All that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work. So the children of men, he has broken that gate of brass and cut their bars of iron asunder. Really. We are those that have been delivered from bondage. We've now been translated into God's heavenly Jerusalem. How do we do that? He that believe is baptized. So go back to Mark 16 where we really are. Yeah, look at Mark 16. We're in Mark 16 into Mark 20, into Matthew's 20, Matthew's Gospel 28. Look at Mark 16, verse 16. Yeah, yeah. So, verse 15, and he said, go into the world and herald the good news to every creature. Yeah, he that believeth and is baptized is saved. Verse 17. These signs shall follow them that are saved. These signs shall follow them who have come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. So coming to Mount Zion really means what? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So because you are indwelling of the Holy Ghost, you are God's child. You are his workmanship. Yeah, you are his workmanship created unto good works. Hallelujah. You know, so it's important to always put at the forefront of our minds what is God's will for the earth. You know, we've done a series of teaching this year. This year has been an interesting year for us. You know, we've had to examine God's nature to an extent. We've investigated scriptures and we've investigated some of those scriptures that look like God kills and takes away and gives. Yeah, but we've answered some questions regarding that. Yeah, but there's something fundamental. God has a will. God has a way. God has a plan. God has a will. Yeah, look at God's will in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 6. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 to 6. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at it. For kings and for all that are in authority. Yet that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The moment Paul introduces God as our Savior, it means that the prayer he's speaking about in reference to verse 1 and verse 2 will be reference to that offering of the Savior. It tells you the reason. So look at it. Look at it. What I want to say now might not sit well with a lot of us. Yeah, look at it again. So look at it. He says, for kings, we pray for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. So it will mean that the prayer you are praying from verse 1 and 2 is regarding salvation. So when you see Paul tell Timothy, for kings and for all that are in authority, God wants, look at it, verse 3 again, for this is good, that is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So what is God's will? He will have all men to be saved. What is the content of what he's teaching about? Salvation. He tells you, our Savior. So Paul introduces a very vital aspect of our Savior, of our God, who's our Father, that is our Savior. So he will have all men saved. So it means that when you are saying, I exhort you that you should make supplication, prayer, intercession, it will be in reference to what? A God who will have all men saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men. That man, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hallelujah. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Glory to God. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, doubting. In like manner, so he keeps talking about certain things there. You know, and you know, verse 9 is one of those verses that people use for. Anyways, we're not going into that. Yeah. So the context is that verse 6, yeah, verse 4, who will have all men saved? So it is God's will that all men be saved. Yeah, so in a real sense, what easy way to get the answer to a prayer? God, let me see your will. It is actually for all men to be saved. What is God's will for man? That they believe the gospel upon hearing the gospel and they are saved. Look at it again. Who will have all men to be saved to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So it is God's will that all men be saved. Jesus gave an example. So how do we know that Jesus gave an example? He used every opportunity he had to preach the good news. Why did Jesus preach the good news in every opportunity? Because he knows God's will is that all men to be saved. Are to be saved. That's why you have heard me say something over the years. You know, I'll say something like every miracle Jesus did pointed to the miracle. That's why you see most of the miracles that Jesus did afterwards, we had some things being said. Yeah, so as saints, in as much as we exalt and we worship the miraculous done, yeah, our attention must come or point to the knowledge behind or what Jesus says afterwards. So, Jesus as our Father gives us an example by using every opportunity to preach the good news. Yeah, before we see some example, look at Ephesians 5 verse 15. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. Children, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Yeah, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? In 2 Timothy chapter, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, 5, 6. Yeah, God who will want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So look at verse 16 again. Redeem it. So look, see verse 16 again. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Look at it again. Yeah, you say what? See that ye walk circumspectly, yeah, seeing that the days are evil, yeah, not as fools, but as wise. But as wise. You know, says in verse 16, he says, redeeming. Yeah, to redeem, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. So, verse 15, it says, not as fools, be wise. So it means that for you to be wise, you are to be one who redeems the time. Yeah, in the real sense, makes best use out of every time. Yeah, why? Because the days are evil. So, because the days are evil, we cannot afford to be unwise. Yeah, because we understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? 1 Timothy 2. God who will want all men to be saved, God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. You see, look at verse 15 again. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly in the Greek is a word that means diligently. Yeah, it's a word that means diligently. So see then that you walk diligently, not as fools, but as wise. Why did he say not as fools? Because he knows, he tells you in verse 16, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. So one who has been brought into the light of the glorious gospel is one who is to redeem every time he has access to. Why? Because the days are evil. So we cannot afford to be unwise. Yeah, because we understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? 1 Timothy chapter 2. The same Paul that wrote Ephesians chapter 5 is the same Paul that wrote 1 Timothy. Yeah, 1 Timothy says what? Who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it means that primarily and fundamentally, what we owe God is for us to be wise, not to be fools. How are we wise? We are wise by recognizing that the days are evil. We are wise by understanding that the will of the Lord is for all men to be saved. So how do we manifest our wisdom? By redeeming and making use of the time. So no matter what we do, we must have God's will in view. We must have God's will in view. See, Isaiah has already told us a prophecy. I am the Lord, the children the Lord has given unto me, they are for signs and wonders. So it means that God counts on you for certain things in reference to signs and wonders. So we are one of people who should go into the new year, you know, redeeming the time, you know, in the real sense, you know, a lot of times, you see, God can speak certain things concerning certain times or certain seasons, you know. So in the real sense, that we're acknowledging that next year is a new year is just because, you know, human mind has a sense of a new beginning. So, you know, everybody has that resolution and new year resolution and things like that. But, you know, there is a doctrinal view or approach, you know, new years, new months and new decades. Hallelujah. Yet, so he says, see that you walk diligently. So it means that a saint in 2021 must see and going forward that he walks diligently. He must walk not as a fool, but as one who is wise. What is the wisdom? Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Are we together? Yeah, because you know that God wants all men to be saved. The way he will do it is by using yourself or submitting yourself and myself submitting myself. So in my submitting myself, that serves as an example. I am following the submission that Jesus gave, yeah, as an example, and you follow suit. Hallelujah. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So as a Christian, you can be a Christian and be one who is wise and unwise. Who is one who is unwise? One who is unwise is one who doesn't understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? 1 Timothy, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah, what is one who is wise going to do? He's one who will capitalize on every time and every opportunity, knowing that the days are evil, knowing that he knows that the will of the Lord is that all men are to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. See then that ye walk diligently. Yeah, diligently. So God's will is for all men to be saved and come to knowledge. So it means that as a saint, every phase of your life you find yourself, make sure you put paramount and in front God's will. What is God's will? All men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's look at a few examples from Jesus. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 1. Look at it. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have the wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. What hour would that be? The hour of what? The death, burial, and the resurrection. So, look at verse 5. His mother said unto the servant, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. See, from verse 4, it doesn't show that Jesus gave his consent. Yeah, but what did the mother say? Whatever he says, do it. Verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stones, after the manner of the purifier of the Jew, containing 2 or 3 fittings apiece. Verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Hallelujah. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Look at verse 9. It says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, verse 9, John 2, 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, that's the one celebrating the event, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. That means, ideally, when you have a party, you set forth the best of wine. He now says what? Does set forth good wine, and when men have been well drunk, yeah, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. You know, a lot to say from there. Anyways, we will not pay attention to that. Look at verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After that, he went down to Capernaum. Yeah, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep, you know, and things like that. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple. Now, this is the point. Inasmuch as Jesus was performing a miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, he was pointing their attention to the miracle. Hallelujah. Yeah, when he says, my hour has not come, he's talking about a particular time. Yeah, so the mother was talking physical, Jesus was talking spiritual. So Jesus was talking about God's wine. You see, in the real sense, that's really teaching about. Anyways, we'll pay attention to that in days to come. Yeah, so Jesus, upon that, he still used that opportunity to teach about the resurrection. You know, that'll be similar to, I'll not drink this wine except in my Father's kingdom. So look at verse 6 again, verse 13. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep, and those and changers of money sitting. And when he had made scourge of small scourge, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, yeah, and the oxen. You know, a lot of people use this verse to say Jesus was angry. No. Read in context. What did he do? He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the table, yeah, and said unto them that sold those, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Yeah, you know, in Matthew's other gospel, you see that he says that you turn my house to a den of thieves. What does that mean? They were robbing the purpose of the house, which was supposed to be a house of prayer. So look at what the disciples said in verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. So what was Jesus doing in demonstration of driving them out from the temple? Was it anger or zeal? There is a difference between zeal and anger. Look at verse 18. Then answered the Jew and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. You see, Jesus always used an opportunity to preach the resurrection. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Where was Jesus? Remember, he went to the temple and he drove them out in verse 15. He drove them all out of the temple. So he was in the temple. So what did Jesus say? Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. Look at verse 20. Then said the Jew, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. It took 46 years for this building to be established. And would I lay it down and raise it up in 3 days? Look at what he said, verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. Look at verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. So it means that the account of John was written after Jesus died and resurrected. Look at it again. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. See, this is not utterance. This is what happened. John, as a disciple, wrote the book of John. But see what he wrote in verse 22. When therefore he was risen. So after Jesus died and resurrected, this is John chapter 2. Are we together? His disciples remember that he had said unto them, and they believed what? The scriptures. When they know that the scripture said that the temple will be risen in 3 days, they believed the scripture. He saw it in scriptures. Altogether. So Jesus, upon that, he used that to preach about his resurrection. What is the resurrection story there? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. In the reference of Cana and Galilee, what was the resurrection story? Yeah, water to wine. Yeah, the earth really to the resurrection wine. Yeah, God's wine. First Corinthians and things like that. Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. Look at verse 3. He healed them in verse 2. Verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Yeah, verse 5. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I am the children the Lord has given unto me, they are for signs and wonders. Yeah, he that believed that is baptized, he saved. Yeah, we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, the general assembly, and the firstborn, or the church of the firstborn. Yeah, so for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Yeah, when Moses wrote that, remember I said that? Yeah, they shall become one flesh in Christ. Yeah, wherefore they are no more twine, but one flesh. Look at it again. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. What did God join together? Man and woman in the resurrection. In the real sense, Christ and the church. Look at it. Yeah. So, see, what God joins, nobody has the ability to disjoin. Let's assume that's good English. Yeah. Let me use Matthew's relative. What God joins together, no man has the ability to put asunder. So if a man and a woman can come together and get married and they grow over time and realize they are not compatible and put themselves asunder, that means it's not what? Remember on Sunday, you know, men make this. God doesn't choose what. Yeah, let's not go there. Yeah. So what therefore God had joined, that's the resurrection. Yeah. Upon resurrection, Christ and the church, we are now one. One spirit, one body, one bread, one spirit, one body. First Corinthians. Hallelujah. So Jesus still taught about the resurrection. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Yeah, you know, some people, you know, it's a common saying we use in our wedding events and all of those things, you know, what would this, God has joined this. No. Men join marriages together. Men join men and women together. Let me say better before you don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, a man and woman is joined by man. It is a man and a woman come together, make a decision to live and cohabit forever. Yeah, anything can put that, okay, yeah, that might be hard to hear. But in the real sense, what is that thing that God joins together? God joins together in the fact that we are now God's children. I and the children which the Lord has given unto me are for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 29. Matthew 26, 29. We saw that from John 2. I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The resurrection. So even at the table of Passover, he taught the resurrection. At the wedding in Cana, he taught the resurrection. Destroy this temple, he taught the resurrection. The Pharisees met him with questions, he taught the resurrection. So Jesus used every time he had, every opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Yeah, Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. Am I saying you should go and marry and be putting us under? No, I didn't say that. I just said that what God joins together and no man should put us under, or no man can put us under, is Christ and the church. Look, Colossians chapter 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, without praying also for us, that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Remember, we saw that redeeming the time. Yeah, redeeming the time was what? Make appropriate use of the time. By doing that, what do we see in Ephesians chapter 5? You are one acting as the wise. Yeah, because you are observant and you know that the days are evil. You know that it is God's will for all men to be saved. So what was Paul requesting prayer for in Colossians chapter 1? That he may have utterance, what? To speak boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. You see, that word there, time, is the word that is kairos. Is the word that means kairos. Yeah. It's the word that actually means opportunity or a season or a moment, a period of time, a season. Yeah. So walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. What does that mean? It means that them that are without, you should what? Make use of the time and do what? Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. So that word there, redeeming the time, is just opportunity, a season, a moment in time or a time. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it means that when you find yourself in the cab, what do? You preach God's word. Yeah. When you find yourself in boat, what do? You preach God's word. When you find yourself in Uber, what do? You preach God's word. When you find yourself on the train, what do? You redeem the time. You pick that time as an opportunity. What do? You share the good. You see, the good news is not only for those who are not saved. The good news is for those who are saved and those who are not saved. That's why it's good news. It is good news to both the saved and the unsaved. Are you together? Yeah. So one who is saved and hears the good news, what does he do? He rejoices in that. One who is not saved and hears the good news, what should he do? He should believe the good news. So you get into the car, you see a chain. Yeah, what do you do? Even you see a cross, whatever they put there. Yeah. You see some people put chains on their mirror, their side mirrors, on their center mirrors, but they put charms under the seat. I've heard of one who puts a Bible on his dashboard at the back, and in his boot he puts a Quran. He says if Bible fails, Quran fails. So we have people who come claim to be Christians but are not Christians. Yeah. So you must make sure that you find yourself in redeeming the time in 2021. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, redeeming the time. You always make it a point of duty to note in your mind that the days are evil. Always make it a point of duty to note that one opportunity lost, you might not get it back. You might not get it back. Yeah, because there are men you skip from, or there are men you choose not to present the good news to, but that might be their last few seconds on earth. So what do you do as saints in the coming year, in the year 2021? Take hold of every given time, space, season, and opportunity. Everywhere you find yourself, every platform you can possibly use. Yeah, see, there is no time to waste. Yeah, time is not in our hands, really. Time is not in our hands. You see, the last 20 minutes, you can never get it back. It's gone, it's gone. Yeah, it's gone, it's gone. We don't always have time to ourselves. We don't always have time to wait. So every new year should be seen as an opportunity to serve God more, to redeem the time more by doing what? Actualizing God's will. Making God's will known. Yeah, know God more. Grow more in God's word. Grow more in your prayer. Grow more in your devotion. Yeah, bring more people in your devotion. You see, 2021 should be a year where you count your disciples and it should even be uncountable. Yeah, because why? It is God's will for all men to be saved. How will you do it? Look at 2 Timothy. Yeah, you know, Paul wrote 1 Timothy first, then he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you are one who is listening to pastor right now, who has a responsibility to teach others also. In doing that, you are redeeming the time. In doing that, you are one acting wise. In doing that, you are not unwise. Why? Because you know the days are evil. Why? Because you know God's will. He says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Glory to God. Yeah, so don't joke with meetings in the year to come. Don't joke with meetings in the year to come. Don't joke with meetings in the year to come. When it's prayer meeting, make sure you make yourself available. When it's teaching meeting, available. Believers meeting, available. Evangelical meeting, available. When we go out for evangelism, make yourself available. Why? Because you are what? One acting as one who is wise. Redeeming the time. You see, there's some meetings, there's some time that when you miss certain things, yeah, you might never get them again. There's sometimes you miss certain things and you might never get them for another 10 years. Yeah, you have missed some, sometimes you miss some minutes and what? You've missed things tangible. See, that's why the Spirit of God in us gives us a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose concerning what? God's will. See, that's why it's unfortunate in our day and time we have the Holy Spirit tell lots of people the clothes to wear, the business they should go for, the contract they should apply for, the school they should apply for, but the Holy Spirit in them never tells them things pertaining God's will. Unfortunate. Unfortunate. Yeah, so are we saying there's no time for those? There are times for that. Yeah, you are one led of the Spirit. You have the discernment, you have the gifts of the Spirit in you. But fundamentally, God's will needs to be paramount. God's will needs to be fundamental. God's will has to be primary. See, there are times things need to be done. There are times things need to be done. In fact, look at Matthew's Gospel. Look at Matthew's Gospel 26. Matthew's Gospel 26 verse 36. Matthew's Gospel 26 verse 36. Dear saints, in the year to come, make up your mind and make it clear to you. Teach your spirit, teach your body, teach your soul, teach everything that concerns you. It is God's will first. It is God's will first. Matthew 26 verse 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane. Yeah. And said unto them, the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray. While I go and pray. I yonder. Yeah, and he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, yeah, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. What did he mean by watch with me? Look at verse 39. He says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. So he went to pray, he led them at the junction, went further, and kept praying. And he came to the disciples and he saw them sleeping. And he said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? So that means fundamentally a saint should be able to watch for 1 hour. Often. Possibly every day. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto them, what? You cannot watch with me for 1 hour. See, what does watch with me for 1 hour really mean? It means that what you should pray. Look at verse 31. Yeah? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. What is watch and pray? Watch, that is pray. Hold your hands. They go to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. Verse 1. Habakkuk 2 verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. And the Lord answered and said unto him, write this vision, make it plain. So what will be the watch do? It will be a spiritual activity. Coming, see, look at it. I will set upon the tower and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Conversation. Look at Ephesians 6, 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Yeah, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that is watching thereunto with all perseverance. So watch and pray means watch, that is pray. Look at Mark 14, 38. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, quickly. Mark 14, 38. Look at verse 37, the same encounter. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Verse 38, it says, watch ye and pray. So watch, that is pray. Lest ye enter. He's not saying that because you are in the bush, yeah, hold your stick and be praying in tongues under your breath. So when you see snake, you reach your stick and eat. No. Watch and pray. He's not saying put Olode is the Yoruba word for security guard. He's not saying put, you know the things we say in Nigerian homes. It's God that protects. So no matter the security you put at the door, it's God that protects. So if you know it's God that protects, why do you put security? Did I just say God does not protect? It will be very mischievous for you to hear that. Yeah, you see, it's God that protects, you know, when you drive on the road. You see, a lot of those things are because we're in a country like Nigeria. That's just the truth. Yeah, if you are in a country that works, you will not need to pray. You will not need to watch while praying. If watching and praying means to observe, and you get the point. Yeah, watch ye that is pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Look at verse 39. And again he went away and he prayed, and he spoke the same words. Look at verse 40, 42. Look at verse 41. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Yeah, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of Satan. What did Jesus do? Oh yeah, keep sleeping. So it means that now you see what we do as saints is that when it's time for meetings, we begin to say things that are very interesting. Yeah, no, I will cover up. I will cover up the meeting later. You see, that was the mindset Peter and the sons of Zebedee were having. Jesus, go and pray. Don't worry, upon resurrection, we'll pray 40 days. She'll understand, she'll get, yeah. We'll pray 40 days. Yeah, don't worry, let's just sleep 1 hour. You say, what did Jesus say? Oh, yeah, keep sleeping. So when we are to pray as a church, don't say I will cover up. Don't say I will do. What do you do? You do your best to make sure you join. When we are to meet as a church, what do you do? Don't say no. I will join online. What do you do? You make your best and do your best to make sure you attend meetings. Be present. Why? Because so that is an expression of one who shows that that the will of God has affected his heart. Yeah, you see, sometimes we Christians we pray, Lord, your will, not my Lord, Lord, your will. What is his will? That all men be saved. You are saying, Lord, your will. You are praying that every day for a full year, and you don't witness to people. Yeah, you don't allow the signs and wonders to be manifested through you. So, God wants all men saved. How will he do that? Yeah, commit the same things you've heard from me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, to other faithful men who will teach others also. So, when you have promptings to pray in the year to come, what do you do? You pray immediately. Yeah. We're not like them who have to wash our hands and, lay our mat on the floor before we pray. No. Once you have the urge, what do you do? You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in tongues. You pray because you are doing the right thing. Yeah. So, when you have a nudge to pray for someone, when a name comes to your heart in the year ahead, what do? You watch and pray. How do you do that? By spending time praying. Yeah, you don't need to go to the toilet and wash your hand and wash your leg and remove your slippers and lay mat and no. You don't need nothing. You are one who is in the word of the Spirit. Yeah, so in the year ahead, don't get into the habit of postponing, procrastination. Make the best of time. Yeah, make the best of time. Look for every opportunity in the year ahead to grow. Look for every opportunity in the year ahead to disciple one, disciple two. Hallelujah. You see, as saints, this is fundamental to our Christian faith because we need to have and be of one mind. One mind. One mind. One mind. It's important to have one mind. Yeah, it's possible that we all do the same thing. It's possible we give ourselves to prayer the same way. Yeah, we stir ourselves into good work. You know, Paul told the church in Philippi, he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, Philippians 2, yeah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any boys and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. So as saints, we are to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other over themselves. Hallelujah. So we are to have one mind as saints. Look at Acts 2 verse 1. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. With one accord in one place. Yeah, so one place, one accord. One place, one accord. One place, one accord. So in as much as the world is pushing us to the social media or the internet time, yeah, there is a room for a one place to be in one accord. They were in one place, not several places, one accord. Yeah, we can be in one accord right now online, but we are not in one place. But what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were in one place, one accord. Look at Acts 1:14. Acts 1:14. He stood over scriptures, one accord, one place. Look at verse 14. Acts 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Who are these all? They that were together in one place. One accord. Look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. That means they were together. Yeah, so in the next few minutes, I want to point our attention to a few things that, we need to pay attention to in the year 2021. Number one, put God first in all. put God first in all. Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 34. Look at Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 34. Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 34. Put God first in all. Yeah? So, by putting God first in all, it means that you put all activities of the local church as priority. Yeah, you know, like I said on Sunday, I want to be a pastor of a church in 2021 who would have more people share testimonies with me how they skip weddings. Yeah, how they skip bridal shower, whatever you call it. Yeah, yeah, I want to have more testimonies like that. Oh, pastor, there's a meeting. Yeah, I told them that I will go for that meeting and I will attend the bridal shower for 5-10 minutes to be present, take pictures and go for prayer. Why? Because you are one who has a sense of redeeming the time. The days are evil. You are one who is acting wise. Yeah, yeah, you know, there are a lot of pressure on so many people right now. So you might end up having so many friends do weddings every Saturday this year. Yeah, so when you have Saturdays, yeah, so don't enter 2021 and say Saturdays are for weddings. No. Yeah, Saturdays are for God. Sundays are for God. Mondays are for God. See, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you go to your workplace. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday is not too much for God. Put God first in all that you do. Look at Matthew 10, 34. Matthew 10 verse 34. He says, think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. What is he teaching about? I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. What does that mean? He's not saying don't take care of family. He's just saying that priority has to be himself. Jesus first. Jesus first. So when he says, think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Yeah, I come not to send peace but the sword. What is that saying? Is that because of following the doggedness of the gospel and for the gospel, you might be at variance with your father. You might be at variance with your mother for the gospel's sake. Yeah, for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. In other words, a man's foe shall be they of his own household. So, you must put God first in all that you do. In all that you do. Look at verse 38. Look at it tells you in verse 37. He that loveth his father or mother more than me. Yet you cannot afford to love any other thing more than Jesus himself. He's not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for the sake shall find it. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. You know, it's kept teaching about, you know, around in the gospel. Look at Matthew 8, two chapters before that, verse 18. Matthew 8, verse 18. Matthew's gospel, chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever ye go. Verse 20. Then Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Verse 21, and another disciple said unto him, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Yet put priorities first. So they said they will follow Jesus. What did Jesus say? You have to put me first. So when you sing that song, I'll put you in front, you and I, Jesus, you are all that matters. Let it reflect in your action. You can't come to a church meeting that starts by 9 o'clock and you come by 9:30 and join the church to sing, I will put you in front, you are night by 9:30. Yeah, so what do? You make sure you come before 9 a.m. I'll make room for you. You see, sometimes we just sing a lot of songs emotionally. We don't mean what we say. I'll make room for you. You are night, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Yet you got to a church by 10 o'clock. You get to a church that started by 8 o'clock by 9:15. I'll put you in front. I can see you in front. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so it must reflect in your actions. When we call for meetings in the 2021, what do? You rush at it. You are there. When we are meeting online, what do? You rush at it. You are present. You are there. Always there. Put God first in everything you do. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. So there's something called assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of son is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, and ye see the day approaching. So put God first, number one, in the year ahead. Put God first in the year. Remember, it's a year that we are focusing on greater works by His Spirit. Yeah, so it means that God has to be primary. Yeah, you must not finish, if you finish 2020 without a disciple to your name, you must not start and finish 2021 without at least a certain number of disciples. A certain number can be 100. Number two, respond more to God's word, God's love. Number two, number one is put God first. Number two, respond more to God's word and God's love. What does that mean? When you hear God's word, what do? You respond to it. When you hear your sins are forgiven, what do? You respond more to it. Remember, I always say something. Yeah, when you see a believer who rejoices over a contract more than the finished work of God in Christ, is one who has not understood the gospel or one who is yet to hear the gospel. Yeah, when you hear, you can see if you're a Chelsea fan and Chelsea is playing Barcelona, yeah, and Chelsea scores a goal, yeah, what do you do? Imagine a UEFA Champions League final, Chelsea scores a goal, what do? You shout goal. You don't say goal. Have you watched the match in a parlor before? Yeah, I didn't say beer parlor. It's you that will add beer to the front. Yeah, have you watched a match in a parlor before? Yeah, a parlor where the congregation gather together to watch a big screen. Amen? Yeah, when they score a goal, what do you do? You watch, you rejoice. See, they did not plan the rejoicing before they scored the goal. In as much as you went there optimistic to know that your team will score, you didn't plan your reaction. What do you see? You see the goal and you rejoice. So, in the year 2021, we want to see more men who are fervent for God that will not come to church putting their hands in their pockets. Yeah, we want to see more men who will come to church and not fold their hands and reading, I'm speaking phone tongues. Yeah, I'm a rep, copy. Yeah. You are going to be one who will labor just as God has labored in his son to demonstrate his love to us. In the real sense, your response to God's word says a lot about your heart. It means that God's word has not permeated your heart properly. So, see, let your devotion in the year ahead, you see, number two, respond to God's word. Respond more to God's word. Let your devotion, your consecration, be evident for even the blind to see. Hallelujah. Yeah, let God's word cause you to jump, rejoice, spin. Get out of your seat. Spin, rejoice, God's word. Hallelujah. Number three, meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate in day and night. Yeah. So now we have God's word in the epistles. We meditate on God's word. Hebrews 2 verse 1. You can write that down. Joshua 1:8. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We need to give more earnest heed to the things. So we pay more attention to even those things we claim we know. We are to meditate on God's word. So we are to do exactly what you ask people to do in situations. So if you pray for the sick, when you are feeling sick, what do? You should have meditated on God's word to the point that you are able to lay hands on yourself. Hallelujah. James 1:22. Look at James 1:22. James chapter 1 verse 22. Yeah. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Yeah. Pay more attention to God's word. Let it reflect in your actions. Let it reflect in your actions. Let it reflect in the things you do. Let it reflect in the things you say. Yeah. You see, I usually give people this example years back. If you take a foam used to wash plates in the kitchen and soak in water. Yeah. When you drop that foam on the table. Yeah. When you squeeze that foam. What will come out from the foam? What you soak the foam with. That is what water. If you soak it with Fanta, what will come out from the foam? Fanta. So it means that if you are a believer and you soak yourself in the word, when trials and tribulations come along your way, what do? What you respond to, or what response to the trial and tribulation is what? Yeah, the thing you soak yourself with. What you meditate upon. Hallelujah. So number three, meditate more on God's word. Do the word. Act on the word. Do the word in the year to come. Act on the word. Number four, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Yeah? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yeah? Guard your heart. Romans 12:1. Dear saints, in the year ahead, see, in the year ahead, you will see so many things that you least expected. You see, 2020 shocked a lot of people, but 2021 will be more interesting. Yeah, 2021 will be more interesting. But remember, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. Look at Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It didn't say present your body. It didn't say make your body. No, acknowledge your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. What does that mean? Guard your heart. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, dear saints, in the year 2021, say your mind less and speak God's word more. Renew your mind more. We are not asked to say our mind. Yeah, every trending topic you put your mouth. No, nobody sent you that. Yeah, nobody said it. We are not saying to see our mind the way it is. What are we told to do? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are asked to renew our minds. We are to renew our minds with what? The word. Hallelujah. So we are to meditate on the word. We are to so in meditating on the word, we are guiding our heart and we are renewing our heart. We are renewing our minds. Hallelujah. Look at number 5. Preach the gospel. Look at preach the gospel. Look at preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is you and I, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So God reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And by extension, he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we have a ministry, we have a message. Are we together? So everyone who is that new man in Christ is one who has a ministry and has a message. What is the message? The message of reconciliation. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You see, so God in Christ reconciled the world to himself. Difference between you and one who is an unbeliever is that he has not accepted. He has not received and believed. What do we do to bring him into the fold? We what? We preach unto them the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Yeah, so number 5 is what? Preach the word. Yeah, in extension to number 5, I can say 5b. Yeah, stand for the truth. Stand for the word anywhere you find yourself. Yeah, stand for the word, stand for the truth. Look at 2 Timothy. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah, preach the word, stand for the word. We are preaching the word. We have a message. We have a message. We have a ministry. I have been called into ministry. So have you been. Hallelujah. Yeah, every saint has been called into ministry. Look at 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing in his kingdom. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Yes, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Yeah, what does that mean? When they want to hear it, preach it. When they don't want to hear it, preach it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What does preach the word and be instant in season and out of season mean? Means that when they want to hear it, say, you see, when they are doing answers, what we owe people is preach the word. People don't want to hear that at the time. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word. Yeah, I mean, nobody say you don't have your civil responsibilities. Yeah, but remember we said over and over and over and over. Yeah, standing for those civil responsibilities is not your responsibility as a Christian. It is your civil responsibility as a citizen of the nation. Yeah, what did Paul tell Timothy? In season, out of season. Why did Paul say so? Because the solution to human problem is the word, the message of reconciliation. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in verse 3. So Paul knows. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Yeah. So sound doctrine is to be endured. Yeah. You have to endure it. Why? Because you might not want to hear it every season of your life, but that is what God owes you. That's what God owes you. Sound doctrine. Endure. A time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Yeah. Now, this everybody wants to hear, you know, aspire, perspire, require, and then backfire. Yeah, you know, to defeat the devil, you have to be on your feet, not on your seat, so that you can take him out of the pit. Yeah, with your kids. Yeah. That is what they by their own lust heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Yeah, they will not endure sound doctrine. They shall be turned unto fables. Fables. Yeah, what are fables? Yeah, what are fables? Fables are really those things that are fables. Yeah, but watch thou in all things. Endure. Paul tells Timothy, endure. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Look at Paul. Paul is saying this. He knows what he has done. Are we together? So stand for the truth of God's word. Yeah, bombard your social media with truth of God's word. Anywhere you find yourself, be emitting God's word. Stand for the truth. Hallelujah. For we are in a day and time where people will not endure sound doctrine. Yeah, what did Paul say? Preach the word in be instant, in season, out of season. Number six. Yeah, but this is very fundamental. Yeah, make it a point of duty to outdo people around you in the love walk. Yeah, so it means that in 2020, once you hear more, I forgive you. I forgive you. See, in 2021, we want to have more conversations on, I forgive you more than you forgive me. Yeah, in saying that, that should spoil you, the forgive you, yeah, to walk in love more. Hallelujah. Be committed to walking in love in the year 2021. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Yeah, make it a point of duty to outdo. Yeah, let it be a godly competition among saints. Yeah, I forgive more than you forgive. Let that spoil you to forgive more. Walk in love. Look at Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 16. Walk in love, bears it. Walk in love, bears it. Verse 16. Behold, I sent you. We did a correction to that on Sunday. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as wise as serpents, be harmless as dove. Yeah, always walk in love. Always walk in love. Yeah, always walk in love. See, there's never a time that walking in love will ever be wrong. Let me say that again. There would never be, for a saint, a time where walking in love will be considered as wrong. Never. 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 There will never be a time. Never. Never. Never, 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 never. There will never be a time that walking in love would be what? Considered as bad. Walking in love is what is expected from the saints every time, every time. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Yes, are you free? Yes, you are free. You have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus upon resurrection is actually a restraint for us to walk in love. So it means that we must not go out of the boundary of walking in love. You know, so walk in love in the year ahead. Walk in love in the year ahead. Walk in love in the year ahead. Do things that you consider others. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Walk in love. In your conduct, walk in love. In forgiving people, walk in love. In your dress mode, walk in love. Yeah, in your dress code, walk in love. And let me say that again. Yeah, in your dress code, walk in love. Walk in love in your dress code. Yeah, there are certain things that should not be found in you, by you, through you as a Christian. Yeah, the reason is because you are a Christian who exalts others more than himself or herself. Walk in love. Your conduct, your approach, the things you say, walk in love. For seven, fundamentally, yeah. Let me say this. Verse 7. In the year 2021 and years ahead, use your words to calm the storm. Yay. Use your words to calm the storm. What does that mean? Let's see an example in Matthew 8:23. Matthew's Gospel 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Yeah, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? So it means that fear is an opposite of faith. Yeah, what did Jesus do? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, dear saints, when it comes to storm, yeah, God is not in the business of sending storm to destroy people. Yeah, see, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. What did Jesus do in the midst of storm? He calmed the storm. So it means that if Jesus was in the day of Noah, he would have calmed the flood. Yeah, so God wasn't the one that sent the flood. Yeah, just the same way God wasn't the one that sent the storm. Else, if Jesus is God and God sent the storm and Jesus is saying calm to the storm, it means that Jesus and God, they are fighting. They are saying opposing things. They are saying opposing things. Yeah, they are saying, what did Jesus do? Holy of the faith. He arose. He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is he that even the winds and the sea obey him? So, dear saints, in the year ahead, yeah, you would see lots of trying situations. What do? You calm the storm with your words. Yeah, you calm the storm with your words. You remind yourself of that great work of salvation done by God in Christ. Look at Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4:6. Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known made to God. You see, anxiety, Paul is not teaching that you cure anxiety by praying. In the real sense, he's actually asking us to take note of anxiety and put it where it belongs. Yeah, we put anxiety where it belongs. Yeah, by reminding ourselves of that great work. Look at verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. What is the peace of God? It is the Prince of Peace that brought the message of peace. Yeah, the peace of God is actually the message of God in Christ. Yeah, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let's go over it again. In the year 2021, yeah, you write it to yourself and say it to yourself over and over. Number one, in the year 2021, I'm going to put God first in all I do. And this will reflect in my conduct. This will reflect in my actions. Number two, I'm going to respond more to God's word. I'll rejoice more in God's word. I'll rejoice more when I hear God's word. I'll rejoice more when I hear God's love. Hallelujah. Number three, I'll meditate on God's word more and more in the year ahead. Number four, I'll be deliberate to guard my heart. You know, this might involve you deleting some social media apps might involve you uninstalling some apps, might involve you logging out. Yeah, you need to guard your heart. You renew your heart by God's word. Yeah, you are one who knows that he's not just talk anyhow. Yeah. Number five, preach God's word. Stand for the truth. Yeah, anywhere you find yourself, stand for the truth. Number six, make it a point of duty to outdo people, outdo other saints in the love walk and in the believer's conduct. Number seven, use your words to calm any kind of storm. Yeah, stay joyful in whatever you do. Yeah, remind yourself, I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. I have my sins forgiven. God lives in me forever. You know, and you do things like that and you realize that, you know, peace comes. Yeah, and the message of Christ is full of peace. The message of God in Christ is full of peace. Yeah, we pay attention to that. For we know that in that, we remind ourselves of the peace that God has actualized by the work of resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Merry Christmas in advance. Happy New Year in advance.